Convincing evidence. We would like to welcome you to this new radio program from the church in Toledo. Convincing evidence. The name of this program is taken from the King James Version Bible. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Greek word evidence rendered may also be translated conviction or proof. The word itself implies action. It is a convincing evidence. Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith with its history. From God's creation through all the generations of God's chosen people to all the New Testament believers consummating with the New Jerusalem in eternity, to prove that faith is the unique pathway for God's seekers to receive His promise and take His way. Today, we are aiming at the Holy of Holies in our spirit and the New Jerusalem in the coming dispensation, neither of which can be seen by eyes. Nevertheless, we have the full conviction, this convincing evidence of these unseen things. Therefore, it is the evidence, the proof, of things to come. The purpose of each lesson heard on this program is to come to that convincing evidence. We would like it the assurance, confidence, confirmation, reality, essence, and the supporting ground of the divine revelations. We encourage you to listen and follow along your Bible and ask yourself, what is the convincing evidence? We hope you will enjoy this way of understanding the normal Christian's walk with us. Now, let us begin with the program by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen. Good evening. Welcome to our program on the air tonight. We are starting a new topic in this season of broadcasting. We are happy to be with you. My name is Paul Robusciano. With me tonight in the studio on the mixing board is Brother Tony Chang. If your Bible is handy, we ask you to open up and enjoy our program. We will come to today's topic. The vision of the church. We all need to see the vision of the church. The vision of the church is neglected more by Christians than the vision of Christ is. In a doctrinal way, Christians may talk about Christ, but not even in a doctrinal way do they speak much concerning the church. 1. The importance of the church being the heart's desire of God. If we read the New Testament carefully, we will see the importance of the church. The New Testament reveals that without the church, Christ would be isolated and unable to do anything. The New Testament especially reveals that the church is the heart's desire of God. God's desire in this age is to have the church. We need to pray that we may see the importance of the church. The work of gospel preaching, the work of edifying the saints, and the work of teaching the Bible should all be for the church. Gospel preaching must not be for gospel preaching, it must be for the church. The edification of the saints must not be just for edification, it must be for the church. Teaching the Bible must not be simply for teaching the Bible, it must be for the church. In God's intention and according to His purpose, all such works are for the church. Even all the saved persons are for the church. We were saved not for ourselves and not merely for our salvation. We were saved for the building up of the church. The church is God's heart's desire. We need to be impressed with the importance of the church and pray concerning this. Then we will no longer be indifferent about the matter of the church. We will see that what must come first is the church, not the preaching of the gospel, not the edification of the saints, and not the teaching of the Bible. The building up of the church should be our top priority. 2. The practicality of the church, the practice of the church in this dispensation. We also need to see the practicality of the church. The church is very practical. We must have the church not in thought, in theory, or in teaching, and not even in revelation. We must have the church in practice. We all need to pray that we would see the practicality of the church. The New Testament does not say much about the doctrine of the church, but it does give us a full picture of the practice of the church. Whereas some today have the doctrine of the church, the New Testament has the practice of the church. Therefore, in the New Testament we have the church not mostly and mainly in teaching, but mostly and mainly in practice. In other words, in the New Testament we have the practicality of the church. We need to see the vision of the practicality of the church. During the past century and a half, many Christian teachers have said that it is impossible for us to have the real church today. Some have said that the real church is invisible and that the visible church is not the real church. Furthermore, some Christian teachers claim that the real church is something for the future, not for the present. According to their understanding, since the real church is invisible and is something for the future, it is impossible for us to have a real church today. What we have today is just something visible, and according to these Christian teachers, this is not the real church. What kind of church do we have in the Bible? In the Bible, are there two kinds of churches, the visible church and the invisible church? In the Bible, do we have the church in the future and the church in the present? According to the Bible, we are now in the dispensation of the church, and the next dispensation will be the dispensation of the kingdom. If we do not have the church during the dispensation of the church, then in what dispensation will we have the church? Those who say that the church is something for the future need to realize that the next dispensation, the millennium, will be the dispensation not of the church but of the kingdom. After the dispensation of the kingdom, there will be the new heaven and the new earth with the new Jerusalem. From this we can see that the teaching that the church is something for the future is absolutely unscriptural. The church must exist during the dispensation of the church, and the church must be practical. The book of Acts speaks of the church in Jerusalem 8:1 and the church in Antioch 13:1. This indicates that in the early days the church was visible and practical. Therefore, it is erroneous to say that the church is invisible. 3. The locality of the church, the practical expression of the church. Next, we need to see that the practical expression of the church must be local. It must be in the place where we Christians are. This is extremely important. If we would have the practice of the church and therefore have the practicality of the church, we must have the local expression of the church. There is no other way. This means that we need to see the locality of the church. Can you find a verse in the New Testament telling us that the church is in the heavens? There is no such verse. The New Testament speaks of the church in Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, the church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, and the church in other cities. All these churches may be called local churches. At the end of the New Testament, we have a picture of seven churches in seven cities. In the New Testament, it is very clear that the practical expression of the church must be local. We need to see this. Because the situation today regarding the church is very complicated and confusing, we need to pray that we would see the church in a proper way according to the New Testament. We should avoid the complications and all the confusion and simply pay attention to what is revealed in the New Testament. We may use driving a car as an illustration. If you drive on the highway, you will be clear about your direction. However, if you drive into the woods, you will not be clear but rather will be in a complicated situation. Concerning the church, some brothers who regard themselves as smart like to get into the woods, into the complications. Eventually, they become very complicated and cannot get out of the woods of their complications. We need to learn to be simple and keep ourselves away from the complications. Simply read the New Testament, which speaks again and again about the locality of the church. Those who refuse to be simple in this matter but raise questions about the locality of the church end up in the woods. instead of raising questions and being complicated, we need to see a vision of the locality of the church. 4. The unique oneness of the church, the proper ground of the church. We also need a vision of the unity of the church, a vision of the unique oneness of the church. When we speak here of the unity of the church, we speak of the unique unity, the only unity. In the Presbyterian denomination there may be a unity, and in the Methodist denomination there may also be a unity, but neither of these unities is the unique unity, the only unity. Rather, the unity of the Presbyterian denomination and the unity of the Methodist denomination are each a unity, among many unities. What we need to see is the unique unity, not the unity among unities. The unique unity, the unique oneness, of the church involves what we call the ground of the church. In ancient times, the people of Israel had a unique unity in the good land of Canaan, with Jerusalem as its center. At that time the people of Israel were one. With them there was not more than one unity, there was the unique unity. The situation changed when the people of Israel were carried away into captivity. Most of them were carried away to Babylon, but some were carried away to Assyria and to Arabia. The people were scattered, and as a result they lost their unique unity. Suppose some of those in Babylon had said, "As the people of God, we have to be one. Let us come together to practice unity." They would have had a unity, but it would have been not the unique unity but the unity in Babylon. Suppose those who had been carried away to Assyria and to Arabia had done the same thing. Then in addition to the unity in Babylon there would have been the unity in Assyria and the unity in Arabia. Each group would have had its own unity, but none of these unities would have been the genuine, unique unity. After 70 years some faithful ones, who stood with the Lord and took His word, went back to Jerusalem, and there they started to practice, to recover, the lost unity. The unity they practiced was the unique unity, the only unity. Thus, after the dispersion of the people of Israel and the return of the faithful ones, there were many unities, but only the unity in Jerusalem was the unique unity. The others were not the real unity. They were unities as divisions. Actually, those so-called unities were divisions. Only the unity in Jerusalem was the unique, the only, unity. From this we see that there is only one ground for unity. If we have more than this one ground, the unity will be broken. The only ground for unity is the proper ground of unity. The proper ground of the unity of the church. Therefore, is the ground of the unique unity. This is not the unity of the various denominations or groups. It is simply the unity of the church expressed in the places, the localities, where the saints are. When we say that the church is expressed in the place where the saints are, we need to define what we mean by place. What is the limit of this place? The limit is not a house nor a street. In the New Testament there are no street churches or avenue churches. Today, however, so-called churches are designated by a street or an avenue. Some might say, in the Bible there are no street churches, but there are house churches. Concerning house churches or home churches we need to be careful. Yes, the New Testament does mention the church in the house of certain saints, in Romans 16:5a. In Colossians 4:15-16. If we read the New Testament carefully, we will see that in these cases the church in the house was the same in limit as the church in the city. In other words, the limit of the house church was equal to the city. The church in that house was the church in that locality, in that city. Therefore, we cannot have a street church, nor an avenue church, nor a church on a college campus, nor a church in a house that is not also the church in the city. According to the New Testament we can have only a city church, that is, the church in the city where we are. The reason for this limitation is that the church in the city, the local expression of the church, keeps the unity, the unique oneness, of the church. As long as we have the city church in Toledo, we are one. But if instead of the church in Toledo, we have street churches, or avenue churches, we will be divided. there will be a Central Avenue Church and a Glendale Avenue Church. We would also be divided if we had churches in different houses, for there would be a church in the house of one brother and a different church in the house of another brother. In God's wisdom and sovereignty, the city keeps the unity, whereas streets and houses divide. If you go to New York City, you must participate to the city church, the local church, the church in New York City. You should participate not to a church on a street or in a house but to the church in the city. Likewise, you should participate not to a church on a college campus but to the church in the city. To participate to a so-called local church in a house is to get into division, but to participate to a local church in a city is to get into unity. We need a vision of this matter. Otherwise, we will have no way to go on with the church, and eventually we'll have to drop the matter of the church. If we are not clear concerning the ground of the church, we will have no way to practice the church life. This has been the situation with a number of dear brothers. They talked a lot about the church, but eventually, because they would not take the ground of the church, they had no way to go on with the matter of the church, and had to forsake this matter. We should not despise the ground of the church or think that it is an insignificant matter. If we do not have the ground of the church, there is no way for us to have the proper practices of the church. Then we will have to give up the matter of the church. Some say, however, that if we take the church ground, we will have problems. But if we forsake the ground of the church, we will have even more problems and troubles. If we are to have the practice of the church, we must take a definite standing, and this standing must not be a wrong standing but the right standing, the standing on the ground of the church, the ground of unity. We need to come back to the original standing, the original ground, of the church. We need to pray about the four matters we have covered concerning the vision of the church being God's heart's desire, the practicality of the church, the locality of the church, and the definite local ground of unity. These four matters are a simple map for our driving. If you are not clear about these matters, you will be lost as far as the church is concerned. No matter how much you talk about the church life and the body life, you will be lost. Captured by the vision of the church, and paying the price for it. We need to be caught, captured, by these points concerning the vision of the church. By the Lord's mercy, we can testify that since we were caught by this vision many years ago through Brother Watchman Nee, we have never changed our tune. From the first day until now, our tune has been the same. But those who are not willing to take the way of the ground of the church often change their tune. For example, several years ago we were told by a particular group that they were the same as we are, a local expression of the church. In their writings they even used the words local church. But now they oppose the matter of the church ground. Another example concerns a brother who, in response to our question of whether his meeting was on the ground of the church, said, "I cannot say that the meeting here is on the church ground, but we are working toward this goal." Now this person, who has been exposed, is absolutely opposed to the church ground of the oneness. This is not the way for the children of God to conduct themselves. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. Regarding the church, we need to have a clear vision, and then we must be ready to pay the price for it, even the price of our life. Then from the beginning to the end we will not change our tune. If we are willing to take the proper way concerning the church, our tune will always be the same. But those who are not willing to take this way will change their tune. They may talk about the church, but eventually they will give up the church and may even oppose it. The ground and the building. If we want to have a particular building, we must also have the lot on which the building stands. For the lot is the ground of the building. However, some may feel that the lot is earthly and has many problems and is too troublesome. Therefore, they want the building without the lot. If you say that you like the building but will not take the lot, the ground, how can you have the building? In such a case, it would be impossible to have the building. This illustrates the attitude of some believers toward the ground of the church. They want to have the church, but they do not want to have the church ground. The result is that they do not have the church. Those who want a building without the lot cannot have the building. In like manner, those who want the church without the ground of the church cannot have the church. Asking the Lord for a clear vision of the church. We need to pray that we may see clearly the four matters that we have emphasized in this program. 1. We need to see that the desire of God's heart is to have a church for His Christ. 2. We need to see that the church is practical, that the church is not a matter in theory or merely in teaching. 3. We also need to see that the church is local, and 4. That the church must have the proper ground. We would urge ourselves to pray in a definite way about these four points. Otherwise, there will be no way for us to go on. Concerning these matters, we need to be simple. Do not be complicated, but in simplicity ask the Lord to show us a clear vision of these four points. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord remember the church in Toledo. Today, through sounding out this message, we are going to pursue this to its roots and seek to lay the axe there. May the Lord grant us ears to hear. Amen.
For more information, please contact us at www.thechurchintoledo.org. Thank you for listening, and please visit our web forum, local church message board, and online discussion site. Tune in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion of the topic, On the Convincing Evidence, a radio ministry of the Church in Toledo. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we will like to hear from you. For questions, further discussion, or simply fellowship, our line is now open at 419-843-5042 again. 419-843-5042. We meet as believers from house to house, day by day. As Christ is our life, church is our living. Thank you and see you soon.